Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA. It's a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
Good afternoon, everybody. And just to remind everyone, we just came out with the new Condo Craze and HOAs app for your iPhone or Android device. And it's great. Here's what the app does when you download it. Now, with the touch of a button, you have instant access to all the Florida laws governing associations, whether it's condos, HOAs, or even co-ops. We also threw in the Florida Administrative Code. Going to come in very handy when it's election time or anytime you have a board meeting. You can also listen to any past Condo Craze show instantly. You can go to the show's website, see who our sponsors are, a directory link to a Glazer & Associates website and find out more about our law firm. You can instantly send us questions and comments. Certainly, if you have a question that wants to go on the air, that's a great way to get in touch with us. You can read all of our prior newsletters, register for all of our seminars, and I think next week we'll be able to actually come out with the list of all the seminars, and man, do we have a lot in store for everybody. It's going to be a great year for education. And of course, you can also read our blog articles. Tomorrow's topic, service animals and emotional support animals, everything you need to know. And now again, it's all on one app, the Condo Craze and HOAs app. Again, it's for your iPhone or Android device. Give it a try. Let us know what you think. And of course, if you'd like to call a law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. And our website, condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com.
And last week, we spoke with Larry Murfree about his case out of Jacksonville, where he claimed that he was being sued for putting an American flag in his flower pot on his front porch. But we also learned that the association is claiming that Larry is violating a prior court settlement where he agreed to remove the flag from the flower pot. So once again, as in most association lawsuits, there are always two sides to every story.
Absolutely, there is. Karen, and I think I'll give all the credit to Scott on this one. Scott got Mr. Murfree to basically admit that he was breaching that settlement agreement, but Mr. Murfree claims that he was doing so only because the association breached the settlement agreement first. I think he said, my lawyer said I can do this because they breached the settlement agreement first. He says they violated that confidentiality clause of the agreement. But in any event, you know, we can look at it 100 different ways. When you break it down, the case is still about a little flag and a little flower pot, and I'd certainly like to see it mediated, and I think it should be settled.
Yeah. Eric, you sent me an email that had a statement from the association where it actually came out and said that they want people to fly the flag in their community, but they simply want them to, you know, honor the provisions of the law and their documents and plop proper flag etiquette. And basically they're saying it's, you know, case isn't about the flag. It's about Mr. Murfree and his fees.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're claiming that he didn't pay assessments. But I guess, you know, we'll see how this case eventually plays out in the courtroom. I can tell you the case still continues to get press all around the country. But today we will move on from the flag flying debate, and we'll debate some of the new laws that came into effect on July 1st for all community associations in the state of Florida. And to get some perspective and opinions about these new laws, we have some special guests with us today, of course, who are all wonderful sponsors of the show. From Affinity Management, we have Raphael Aquino. How you doing, Raphael?
Doing all right, Eric. Thank you for having me.
You got a Condominium Concepts Management on the phone. From where are you, Darlis, Atlanta?
I am actually in Orlando today.
The woman is never in the same city 2 days in a row. Darlis Walker from Condominium Concepts Management. Thanks for joining us today, Darlis.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Rodriguez from Association Services of Florida. Thanks for coming in again, Mark.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Again, pleasure to have everybody. It's just longtime wonderful sponsors of the show. And let's start with one of the new laws that really seem pretty popular on its face. And it's a new law for condominiums that says, regardless of what the declaration says, an association can now enter an abandoned unit to inspect the unit and the adjoining common elements. They can make repairs to the unit or the common elements serving that unit. They can turn on the utilities for the unit, or they could otherwise maintain, preserve, or protect the unit and the adjoining common elements.
Yeah, and the way this new law is written, it states that the unit is presumed abandoned if the unit is in foreclosure and there has been no tenant for 4 weeks without prior written notice to the board. No tenant appears to have resided in the unit for two consecutive months without prior written notice, and the association is unable to contact the owner after reasonable inquiry. The association can't enter an abandoned unit until 2 days after notice of the association's intent to enter the unit has been mailed or hand-delivered.
Yeah, and in terms of expenses, the new law, this sounds nice, but we'll get to what it really means. It says any expense incurred by an association pursuant to this section, in other words, all the expenses of fixing up the place, etc., is chargeable to the unit owner and enforceable as an assessment, and the association can lien and foreclose these amounts. And the association can even petition for a receiver. So it sounds great, but, you know, let's talk about what it really means. And I take it that as far as our managers go, a lot of you are dealing with these abandoned units. You know, Mark, before you came in, we had some discussion about whether or not the statute was even necessary. What's your thoughts?
Right. Well, like you said, the statute sounds real nice, but in reality, there's no real change here at all. The condos have already had access to the units, and the board has had an obligation to mitigate damages, but as far as gaining access, they've had access for years now.
Yeah, there was always a statute that says we can go in and make any emergency repairs. How about you, Raphael? What's your thoughts?
I feel the same way. Not much has changed. I know a lot of boards sometimes hold back from going into these units. However, you just sit down with your attorney, figure it out, see what the game plan, but, you know, not much has changed, really.
Yeah, Darlis, though, what's your take on it? I know it's always been a problem, though. Until the association has ownership, I know it's been difficult to have electric companies actually turn on the utilities to the unit.
Well, it absolutely is. I think two of the key things that we have to consider here is, one, it does give us the right to go in for non-emergency reasons. Recently, we had a unit abandoned where a pet was left in the unit, or we believed that a pet had been left in the unit, and in fact, there was a cat with kittens.
Really?
You know, it's debatable if that's an emergency.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
It's something where we felt we needed to go in. I think also having the utilities on, as you know, here in Florida with the humidity, a lot of times if the air's not on, we get mold. And so having the ability to turn the power on and make sure that that temperature is maintained, I think it's a good idea, but it really doesn't change anything.
Right, exactly. So you're telling me in a condo that you, were managing, someone actually moved out and left a cat in there that had kittens?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to see that person actually go to prison. I'd have no problem doing that. Imagine doing that to a cat and your kitten.
It's horrible.
It's hard to believe. But here's my take on the new statute. Like, you know, everybody's saying, the association always had the right to go into a unit in case of an emergency and make these repairs. But this just lets the association now go into a unit and fix it up and really spend a lot of money that the association may never, ever get back.
Yeah, I mean, it does add this provision in there, though, Eric, that says they can, make it chargeable to the owner and make it an assessment that they can lien for. So I guess that's something new. I don't think that's ever been in there before. But, you know, if the unit's been abandoned, and you're probably going to be foreclosing on somebody that's already defaulted on their mortgage.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, the statute lets the association spend all this money, and the reality is the bank will eventually foreclose on the unit, and I guess whatever lien you have also that would secure this payment. And so the truth is the statute just kind of lets you fix it up for the bank. But, you know, again, sometimes, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And the place is, you know, overcome with mold or something, you know, the person to the right or to the left of that unit shouldn't be harmed because, you know, somebody just got right out of Dodge.
This was on the agenda last year in the Florida legislature, and the thought at that time was, if we're going to give the associations the authority to fix it up, then let's make the bank responsible if they foreclose, that they got to reimburse the association for the repairs. But the bottom line is, what didn't change is that when the bank ultimately forecloses on this unit, they still only have to pay the lesser of 1 year or 1%. So in reality, you're fixing up this unit potentially for a bank that's going to get the unit back there and not have to pay the association a dime.
I mean, you could get in, you could get, you know, a little creative here and say, well, the bank's being unjustly enriched by this work, and you know, you wouldn't be able to sue them under any contract or any statute, but a common law, you know, suit for unjust enrichment might be something the association could do if they put a significant amount of money into it and need to get it back.
So obviously, wouldn't it be fair if the banks paid for these repairs? Aren't they the ones that are really benefiting here?
Yeah, and it's interesting because in bankruptcy proceedings, oftentimes, someone that's preserving the collateral for someone else is entitled to what's called a surcharge fee. And remember here, that's really what the association is doing. The association is really preserving the bank's collateral. And the unit owners in the association, they're paying to preserve the bank's collateral. So if the Florida legislature really wanted to help, they would make the banks pay for these repairs because, again, it's their collateral that's being preserved. But the banking lobby here in Florida is simply too powerful for that. To me, the law sounds nice, but if the association is playing its cards wrong and the timing here is incorrect, they just fixed up a unit for a bank, and they'll never get that money back. But let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If you've ever thought your management company puts their interest ahead of your association's, speak to Condominium Concepts Management. Get in touch with a professional management company that doesn't own other companies they try to push on your community. Condominium Concepts simply negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all of the savings are simply passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help your association, not take control of it. Nobody knows your condominium community better than you do. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time where every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye toward reducing expenses in your community and saving every unit owner money. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners, always applying a common-sense approach. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Need insurance for your condo or HOA? How about getting a question answered by your agent without it taking days or weeks? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz, because we specialize in providing insurance to condo associations and homeowners associations and are a clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989 and has written over $70 million in insurance premiums. And we're an independent insurance agency representing many insurance companies, which means we can provide the best coverage at the best price. Mack, Mack & Waltz can also provide insurance to unit owners, homeowners, the association, and even auto, boat, life, and health insurances. Our staff consists of licensed professionals, some of whom hold designations such as Certified Risk Manager and Certified Insurance Counselor. And in the event disaster strikes, Mack, Mack & Waltz is quick to respond. Our offices have their own generator and our own management system is web-based, so we can operate anywhere we have an internet connection. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your customer service, visit our website, macinsurance.com, or call 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz. Remember us when it comes to insurance.
Never wait for that first drop of water to come through your ceiling before you decide that it's time to check your roof. Once damage is set in, repairs can get much more expensive. Making a moderate investment in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing is the ultimate way to protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure and limit consequential damages due to unexpected roof problems. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with their annual service agreements that prevents leaks, provides emergency service, and increases the life expectancy of your roof. Best Roofing provides roof condition surveys and comprehensive detailed recommendations. They outline your priorities and give you a realistic budget, so there's no unwelcome surprises. Best Roofing service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, performing minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking and minor counter flashing repair, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Or visit online at bestroofing.net. That's bestroofing.net.
Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis. With attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, we are taking your phone calls on community management. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
So we were talking about the new law that allows the associations to go in and kind of fix up an abandoned unit, and we argued that, well, you might wind up fixing it up for a bank only to foreclose on it and then sell it. And one of our listeners writes in and says the banks just love this new provision. They get a unit ready to sell, renovated with the money from the other unit owners. So, yeah, that's a potential downfall to that statute. But let's keep going and talk about some of the other new laws that were passed. For condominiums and co-ops, this is an interesting one. An outgoing board or committee member must now relinquish all the official records and property of the association in their possession or under their control to the incoming board within 5 days of the election, and the division can impose a civil penalty for any board member who willfully and knowingly fails to relinquish the records. And I'm sure all of you, no doubt about it, have had experiences with former board members refusing to return records to the association, kind of like sore losers.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, since most of the times management companies do have most of the information, we're able to hand it over, but sometimes the committees are the ones that become difficult because we don't have as much information. They have most of the information with regards to whatever committee they're on. However, as a board, you could be strategic, and if you know a change is coming, just start requesting your information ahead of time.
Sure, sure. Mark, any experience with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, it's one of those things that happens much more often than we'd really like. And it puts a burden on the association's day-to-day operations many times. My only concern about this whole statute is how do you really know or control what those board members and committee members actually have?
Yeah, well, I guess
so. I
a lot of times it benefits when you go from a situation where there was no management at all previously and you have people keeping the records in their house, and now that you bring in a management company says, all right, give us all the records, and they refuse to take them out of their house. Darla, something you have experience with?
Actually, yes, we do. And, you know, in theory, the new law sounds great, but realistically, all they have to do is say, I don't have anything.
Right, exactly.
And
how do you prove
they
have it?
They really can't prove that they do. So you know, in my view, it's not really enforceable.
Yeah, I can tell you we've had to have file some lawsuits over the years against owners requiring them to turn over the records. And, you know, it happens from time to time.
Yeah, there's really no excuse nowadays to that things shouldn't be kept electronically.
Right,
and
exactly.
That way you can track everything and make sure it's there forever, not just 7 years. So,
right.
You know, again, nowadays with the price of scanners and computers being what they are, you know, you can invest like maybe $300 of your association's money into it and have everything put electronically on a hard disk. So, or in the cloud, as they say now.
Right.
So that these types of excuses will become null and void, and maybe that would be a good rule,
right,
or good law for them to come up with in Tallahassee.
That's right, that everything should be scanned in for everybody to see. If you think about it, Scott's right. The bottom line is if everything is scanned in, you really don't need this statute because there would be nothing to turn over. Everything would be up on a website or in
very
the cloud
true.
For everybody
exactly.
to see. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Scott. All right, another one for condos only, and it has to do with board meetings, and this makes sense. You know, right now it's the statute says that if a board member can't make a meeting, that they can appear by telephone, and as long as everybody can hear them and they can hear everybody, it's as if they're present. Well, technology has now certainly increased and gotten better, so the statute's been amended to say board members can now meet via video conferencing or similar real-time electronic or video communication. Certainly makes a lot of sense, you know, the statute, at least to me, finally keeping up with technology.
Yeah, with that one, I say thank you. I mean, I have an association we manage on Miami Beach where none of the residents live here in Miami. It's always difficult to have these meetings over telephone. Now we can do video conferencing, and we've actually been using that for a while. However, we weren't too sure if we were staying within what the statute
right.
requires, you know.
but now you're good. I'll tell you what I'd like to see. You know, Scott, you just mentioned taking the last statute one step further. I'd like to see this statute perhaps taken one step further. And what do I mean by that? A lot of times boards want client interviews, or should I say, you know, interviews of prospective tenants or purchasers to be in person. And people are buying units from all over the world today. So they'll write to the board and they'll call the board and say, please, can we appear by Skype? You know, we'll pay whatever charges are affiliated, but don't make us go on an airplane and fly into Miami for a 20-minute interview. And a lot of boards are saying, nope, too bad. You got to come down and show up in front of us. I'd like to see it extended that way. You know, some thoughts?
I don't have a problem with that so much, but, if you're going to interview someone for a job, you're going to want them to come in person, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if that's just someone you're going to have working for you as opposed to maybe living next to you, maybe you want to meet that person in person too. That's just kind of something that's, different people just feel differently about. I don't know if there's any logic behind them coming in person or not. Just, you know, some people just like to meet their neighbors in person before they let them into their community. But that's just me.
Gotcha. Got
it. Yeah, well, I've run into I have to slightly disagree just because we've run into, it's true what you mentioned, Eric. We have a lot of international investors, and we ran into that situation just 2 to 3 weeks ago. The committee member did not want to do the conference call over Skype. The gentleman had to fly from Spain into Miami just to do an interview, which ultimately could have been really done on Skype.
On Skype, right. Yeah, Dallas, you were saying.
Yeah, you know, one thing that we have found by using Skype or the video conferencing is that our attendance to our board meetings and the involvement of the homeowners has increased greatly.
Right.
We have a lot of people really utilizing that and now getting involved in the management of their association.
Sure. You know, I don't know, I guess, that much all about Skype, but maybe you guys can educate me. Scott, I'm sure you can. How many people can actually join in on one Skype call where they'd be able to see everything that's going on?
It all depends on which one you have. The free version only allows a limited amount of individuals. There
right.
are other video conferencing softwares out there
right.
that allow multiple. There's also massive benefits. If this is heading this way, it's great because I know some members might not like this because you do have some abusive boards. However, you could essentially control the members on when they could speak. So you could have an
right.
orderly board meeting where you give everyone the opportunity. Okay, this agenda item's up. Now you could give everyone an orderly fashion on how to conduct the meeting.
I think that would be great. If you can have people actually sit in their homes and have the ability to
yeah.
participate
yeah.
in the board process, the board meeting process, you know, how is that a bad thing? I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, you don't have to hire the police officer anymore.
Right. yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. I think I agree. All right, let's quickly keep moving. two changes to the co-op statute that we don't have to really talk about much. Co-ops now have the same year-end financial reporting requirements as condos and HOAs. You know, co-ops, for one reason or another, have always been treated like, you know, the red-headed stepchild. The changes normally get made to condos and HOAs first, and then ultimately work its way over to the co-op statute. So that's a good thing. And now also in a co-op, a person who's delinquent in any monetary obligation, you're not eligible to be a candidate, and a director charged with embezzlement is removed from the board. A person with a prior felony conviction can't serve unless their rights have been restored for 5 years. Again, these are things that have already been in the condo and HOA statute, and it's good to see that now co-ops are getting the same rights in that regard. Here's a new one also for co-ops and for HOAs, and it's something that's been existing in the condo statute for a number of years now. The board of directors are given extraordinary powers now when a state of emergency has been declared, for example, after a hurricane. And let's talk about some of that. Some of the things that boards of directors can do is, like, dispense with the notice requirements, for the proper notice requirements for a board meeting. They can now hire professionals, you know, without a formal vote. They can borrow money, make emergency repairs, etc. Now, I don't know who was here or who wasn't here, you know, after Andrew or after, what was the last one? Wilma, after Wilma, of course. But, yeah, these are things that can definitely, I guess, get in the way. Anybody got any good stories to share about not being able to get in contact with your board or the community after, let's say, Wilma?
Sure. When this statute was passed for the condos, I thought it was great. And now that they've caught the co-ops and the homeowners associations up with that, I think it's a great tool because it gives the boards the latitude they need to protect the association property after a storm. And we all know after a storm, conference calls are absolutely out of the question. Most people,
right,
you know, may be out of, you know, they may drive out of town. So getting everybody together is definitely difficult. And sometimes you just don't have enough time to do that. You don't have time to post a 48 out. You don't have 2 days.
Right.
So absolutely, I think this is a great tool for board members during an emergency.
Yeah, if your building's about to fall down, it's certainly not logical to give 48-hour notice and try to track down a quorum, you know, if only the president's around.
Exactly.
Darlis, any experience dealing with catastrophes after a storm?
You know, pardon me. Yes, actually, we had a building that suffered about $34 million worth of damage during Charlie.
Right.
And all of the board, because of the evacuations, we had no board members. And getting them on the phone was almost impossible because phone lines were down and cell phone service was down. So, you know, at this point, we were able to get a hold of less than a quarter. It was really a disaster trying to get everybody and have a meeting, and you can't put notices out. There aren't people to come. So, yes, I think this is going to benefit everybody.
Good. So like anything else, as long as it's not abused, it'll probably be a good thing. Let's do this again, everybody. We have guests with us on the show today from Affinity Management, Condominium Concepts Management, and Association Services of Florida, talking about all the new laws that just became effective on July 1st in associations throughout Florida. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Does your community association want to reserve funds for future repairs, but has no idea where to start? Leave that complex job to Custom Reserves. Let their professional staff inspect your property and provide your community with an analysis that accurately tells you the life expectancy of your roofs, roads, paint finishes, and much more. At Custom Reserves, member-governed associations served include condominiums, townhomes, HOAs, CDDs, co-ops, and timeshares. Whether you're a high-rise condo or a sprawling community, Custom Reserves can prepare a reserve study you can count on. Your home is your most valuable asset. Don't ignore the importance of funding a reserve account because you think you can't afford it. Let Custom Reserves help you avoid a rainy day by saving now and avoiding special assessments later. And if your community is being transferred from the developer to the owners, contact Custom Reserves for a clean bill of health for your property and establish an adequate reserve fund from the start. Call Custom Reserves now for a free no-obligation proposal at 888-927-7865. That's 888-927-7865. You can also visit online at customreserves.com.
Isn't this pool closed?
Don't worry about it, man. No one, Mo.
This is Invera Systems. The area is closed.
Don't worry about it, man. It's probably just a recording.
You need to leave the area immediately.
You can hear me?
I can hear and see everything you're doing.
Come on, man, let's just go. All right?
Don't leave your community vulnerable to vandals. It's important to be prepared. As industry leader in outdoor asset protection, Invera Systems installs and monitors technology-based security solutions and protects communities better than anyone else. Invera's active video surveillance system utilizes high-resolution digital video cameras and two-way audio, along with state-licensed virtual guards to monitor, record, and protect communities like yours. Contact us today and receive a free security consultation and 15% off installation. Call 855-936-8372 or visit us online at enverasystems.com. That's E-N-V-E-R-A systems.com.
With so many management companies promising that they can help your community, how do you know which one to choose? How about starting with the one that has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years? How about starting with Association Services of Florida? As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Associations and residents alike look to Association Services of Florida's value-added services, attention to detail, and local expertise for continuous community improvement. Our mission statement says it best, providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide. Association Services of Florida's superior senior management team has more than 55 years of combined experience managing communities and providing expert support to management, staff, and board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community and to find out how Associa can help your condo or HOA, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And visit our website at AssociaFlorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry.
Hard work never killed anybody. But why take a chance? This is 850 FTL.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. The low-cost, practical solution to repairing aging pipes and sewer problems. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies. 561-853-5463. 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Uh-oh.
Having electrical problems? Don't take any chances. Electrical repair should only be trusted to highly experienced, certified electricians. And that's where Elcon Electric comes in. When you mention Elcon Electric, the response is virtually the same. I know Elcon Electric. Their trucks are everywhere. Serving South Florida since 1989, Elcon Electric's fleet and service professionals are well recognized. When you partner with Elcon, you can be assured that your electrical problems are a thing of the past. They service residential and commercial properties, including high-rise condominiums. No job is too big or too small. They do it all. All work comes with a lifetime warranty, and Elcon Electric is available 24/7. Call Elcon Electric today, 800-446-8915. That's 800-446-8915. And be sure to visit online at elconelectric.com. ElconElectric.com. Remember, the switch is on to Elcon, your neighborhood electricians.
Bugged about the bugs in your condo or HOA? Creeped out by the creepy crawlers in your community? Tired of termites? At Diligent Lawn and Pest Control, they understand your needs and know you want to rid your home of unhealthy and destructive pests while minimizing the chemicals used in your environment. That's why they've developed the pest prevention services with the most technologically advanced products and application methods in the industry today. Since no two homes or communities are alike, your service is designed with your particular situation in mind. After a thorough inspection of the premises, they apply the appropriate state-of-the-art products in the places necessary to solve your problem. The pledge is to make your home and community environment pest-free. Diligent will gladly come back between scheduled services and retreat at no additional cost to you. To control covered pests in and around your home. Your complete satisfaction is always guaranteed. Whether it's routine pest control, termite problems, pre-construction services, or lawn and tree care, Diligent is there to help you anywhere in the state. Make sure to visit them on the internet and take advantage of the online coupons at diligentpest.com or call toll-free 800-487-8190. That's diligentpest.com or 800-487-8190. Want great no-nonsense customer service? Then get in touch with Diligent Pest Control today.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We're talking about new laws that have gone into effect for community associations as of July 1st, and our guests from Affinity Management, Raphael Aquino from Condominium Concepts Management, Darlis Walker on the phone, and Association Services of Florida, we have Mark Rodriguez.
Absolutely. And let's keep going. A new law, new change to Florida Statute 720 for homeowner associations says a meeting of the board and the members have to be held at a location that's accessible to a physically handicapped person if requested by a physically handicapped person who has a right to attend the meeting. Why this only wound up in the I think it's a great idea, obviously, and whoever thought of it should be commended. But just a little strange that it's just in the HOA statute, not in the condo statute, because needless to say, certainly the same rules should apply to a handicapped person in a condo meeting. You guys over the years have dealt with any of that? I can tell you I've had people complain that, you know, sometimes meetings are held in a second floor and it might the condo association might not have an elevator that runs to that specific board meeting. And yeah, it's been a problem for me in the past. I know that.
Yeah, I haven't run into it, but if I receive that type of complaint, we'll do whatever we can to
accommodate
sure
that, person.
Likewise, and I was very surprised it wasn't in 718 and 719 as well, because I think it sort of fits, like you said, every other.
Certainly non-controversial. I'd like to see it all, you know, moved over into the 718 and 719 statute as well next year. And here's one that people always seem to call in and ask the show about, and it has to do with emails. You know, whether or not board members can communicate by emails, whether or not those records can be seen by everybody. But for condos only, here's what the statute's been changed to. Board members can communicate by email, but they just can't vote by email. And like I said, we get asked this all the time if board members can communicate by email, and the answer has been yes. but there was an arbitration case out there that says the emails are not official records, therefore nobody can see them. But at least to me, you know, if you have now a statute that now officially allows board members to communicate about association matters by email, might be hard to justify now that these are not official records of the association. You know, any thoughts on that?
I definitely don't think this is a good idea. I'm actually dealing with this on a property in Jacksonville now where the board is making decisions. And if they're emailing the entire board, in my view, that constitutes a quorum.
Right. If they're discussing business, right, they're chatting. Yeah, I understand. But, you know, it's Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, even at every government level, at the highest of the high, you know, interoffice emails generally in the White House or between the White House and congressional leaders, all of those emails are based, unless it has to do with like national security, all of those emails, for example, like, you know, the IRS emails that everybody wants to see, it's public record. So you have, you know, high important emails in a government setting that the people can see,
but you can't have
the condo emails be seen by everybody?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a distinction there. All of the government emails are on government email accounts that are stored on government servers and are done, you know, during government time. The fact that someone uses their own email address that might be owned by Microsoft or whatever, you know,
right,
to email someone else on the board about something in the middle of the night because that's the time they have to do it. No, I wouldn't equate that to, you know, public records, Eric, or in
So far the arbitrators who have ruled on the issue agree with you. They're saying, well, if somebody sends it from their home computer, even though it has to do with the condo business, it's a personal email. I don't know, if one director writes another director an email that says, you know, I don't think we should get four bids. I think we should only get two bids, and I want my brother-in-law to do it, by the way. Then, you know, that's an email everybody should see.
20 years ago, someone left that message on your answering machine.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
you know,
right.
What? I mean, come on. It's a little ridiculous. We know what official records are. Communications between two private individuals just happen to be on your board using their own private communication services, not at a meeting. Those aren't official records. Come on.
Well, I don't know. If you're voicing opinions or giving instructions based on that email, I don't know if I can necessarily agree. But
yeah, but where does it end then after that? Let's just say that does get approved. Number one, it's going to be we're going to have to go through a whole nother process, and I speak more on a management from the management company perspective. It just to be able to make sure that we have every single set of communication for that individual. I mean, we've had that request multiple times in our office. And as Scott said, I mean, what's next? The voicemails now that are left on managers' phones are also official records of the association. Now, again, we're speaking more from a balanced perspective. I do understand that some individuals or boards or whatever it may be take it to the next level. However, you know, where does it really end?
Yeah, I mean, like, think about it, Eric. You and I, let's say, are on a board together, but we're also friends, and there's, you know, seven people on the board, so it's not a quorum, right? And you and I start talking over lunch about, oh, man, which one of the contracts we're going to, you know, get. There are a few bids here. I don't know what to do. Let's hash out the numbers between us so when we go into the meeting, we kind of understand what we're talking about. So we write down some notes on a napkin at a restaurant, crunching the numbers. What are those, official records now?
Interesting. I mean, come on. Yeah, is it the same thing? Yeah,
I think all this statute really does is clarify that emails can be used, but I don't think it was the intention of the legislators for us to now have to print out every email that gets sent between board members and managers. And
so even if a president sends an email out to the six other board members that talks, you know, takes an official position or instructs the other six what to do, that email shouldn't be seen by the others? I don't know. It can be argued either way, but I certainly understand the argument on the other side. All right,
Eric, I'm in agreement with you. If it's going out to the entire board,
right?
To me, that's an official meeting, or it might be an unofficial meeting, but it's a meeting and it's a quorum.
Yeah, they're certainly doing business, right? You know, it's interesting. All these things, and it's funny because some of the people in here are shaking their heads no. So, you know, I guess the bottom line is not every communication amongst board members, even about official business of the association, do at least some of the people in this room think should be seen by everybody else. And I don't know about that. Okay, remains to be seen, but let's move on before we take our final break of the hour. There is one good statute that I do want to talk about. And it's always been, you know, if a condo purchases a unit at its own foreclosure sale, all right, condo forecloses on a unit, the condo, and the condo gets it back, the condo is now not classified as the previous owner, and this is important. Therefore, let's say a condo gets it back, they foreclose, and now they own it. When the bank ultimately forecloses its mortgage and a third party buys that unit at a foreclosure sale, that third party can no longer say that the condo is also jointly and severally liable to the association for all the payments of the undue assessments on that unit. Now, that third party owes the association all the delinquent monies on that unit, and it clarifies a mess that was created by what's known as the Spaggia decision. And, you know, obviously this went, this was in the HOA statute last year, finally brought over to the condo statute. You know, not much argument that it's a good thing. It certainly helps condo association.
I don't know how, if it's logical.
Well, I didn't know if it was logical to, for the Spaggia decision to say a condominium association can owe itself, however.
Yeah, no.
Kind of strange.
There's going to be a case eventually where this happened.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody is going to get hit with some assessments after, you know, they haven't owned the unit for 2 years and the condo has been renting it out and making a profit. And,
that's a whole other issue.
Come on.
Should the third party get credit for the time that the bank, that the association was renting out the unit?
I mean,
if reflected in the statute yet either.
Yeah, I mean, this is, well, I'm going to say something really stupid. So just, you know, wait and see on this one.
Let's see how the courts play it out. All right, let's do this. Take our final break of the hour. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Pipe burst in your condo unit or home? Drains backed up? Showers not working? Toilets not flushing? Call Douglas Orr Plumbing, the family-owned plumbers in Florida for the past 40 years. At Douglas Orr Plumbing, they have licensed professional, insured plumbers and provide 24/7 emergency service. Their philosophy is simple. Work hard, be honest, and stand behind your work. In fact, Douglas Orr Plumbing won the Angie's List Super Service Award for 2012, and they've been receiving this esteemed award consistently since 2007. Douglas Orr Plumbing offers senior citizen discounts and savings coupons on the website. Wherever you are in South Florida, if you have a plumbing problem, Douglas Orr Plumbing is your solution. Residential, commercial, or industrial repairs. And they have over 20 fully stocked service trucks ready to hit the road. If your condo or HOA needs plumbing repairs or services, high pressure jetting, or leak detection, give Douglas Orr a call. 800-368-4677. That's 800-368-4677. And don't forget to visit the website, orrplumbing.com, for money-saving discounts. Go with the plumbing pros at Douglas Orr Plumbing.
Has a flood or other disaster struck your community? Is your association in need of water and fire damage cleanup, floor care, commercial cleaning? Then call the company with nearly 70 years' experience. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7. ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7 cleans upholstery, tile and grout, marble, vinyl and linoleum floors, even wood. If your association has suffered damage as a result of fire, call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7 for help with fire damage restoration, complete structural cleaning, duct cleaning, smoke and odor removal, and more. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7. If your association needs help with water damage restoration, water extraction, structural drying, floor drying, carpet cleaning, mold remediation, and odor and stain removal. A team of trained, caring, and professional water damage technicians will be on site quickly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When a disaster happens, call the regional company with the national response team. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7.
1-866-969-6653. 1-866-969-6653.
Or visit ServiceMaster247.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? In South Florida, you have access to the finer things. Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
An association's landscaping may be its most important asset. When cared for properly, your landscaping can make your home or condo association look like a palace. When maintained poorly, it's a bad first impression of your community and can instantly bring down the prices of everyone's home. Don't let that happen where you live. Trust the professionals at Garden Leader to give your property that green, tropical, plush look you've always wanted. At Garden Leader, they've been making communities throughout Florida look great since 1981. Whether it's mowing, irrigation, fertilization, pest control, pruning, mulching, or anything related to your landscape, or if you're just searching for that great new look for your community, Garden Leader does it all. Frustrated with your present landscaping company? Give Garden Leader a call. Garden Leader won't let you down. They strive to make their customers happy for years to come. Give Garden Leader a call at 888-680-7035. That's 888-680-7035. Or visit online at garden-leader.com. Don't leave your community's landscaping to chance. Go with the leader, Garden Leader. Again, that number, 888-680-7035.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. Give us a call at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
All right. Another new change to the statutes. Florida Statute 718-117, which is the condominium termination provisions. Just a little bit of background here. For those of you who don't know what the condominium termination is, very hot topic. Senator Latvala recently held a town hall meeting about it. There is a statute under the Florida Condominium Act which basically states the following. You can have a condominium of, let's say, 100 homes, and if you have 80 of those homes voting in favor to terminate the condominium can, in fact, be terminated. So what happens to the other people that don't want to terminate their condominium? Well, they have mortgages on their units, and let's say they're upside down. In other words, let's say their units are only worth $100,000, but they owe $200,000. The law provides that the condominium can be terminated and that the unit owners who are upside down, they only get the fair market value, basically, of their unit, which can also be determined by what it says on the property appraiser's website, and we all know how low that could be.
Yeah.
So in other words, they get paid half of what they actually owe to their mortgage company, and they got to get out. And that's regardless of whether or not they've been good boys and girls. They paid their condo assessments each and every month. They paid their mortgage each and every month. They never missed a payment. They've been model owners. Yet, if there's a vote of 80% of the community, they are out. They're out the door because some developer wants to turn this condominium into something else. So there needs to be a vote of the 80%. And the new statute says, and it's called a plan of termination, a plan has to come forth. Now, if the if you have a vote to terminate the condominium and it fails, now you have to wait at least another 180 days before you can take that vote again. It's kind of like a reprieve for the unit owners who are on the verge of getting kicked out even though they did everything right. Anybody dealing with these kind of issues right now?
Yeah, I actually have two properties that we're dealing with in Miami Beach. One of them, you're going to laugh, they want to terminate the condominium just because of the value within the area. It's in Miami Beach area. the board has actually given us some homework to help them find someone to terminate the condominium. So in this side, the owners will probably have a major benefit because what they're willing to offer is going to be nowhere near to what the current values are. It's actually going to be much more. So to give you a perspective, it'll say if the average market's going $100 per square foot, they're offering close to $250 per square foot.
Right.
Now, you still have some members that just don't want it. No, I want my little piece of property. So that's something that they'll have to determine if they're able to get the 80% or not.
Right. So what do you do with those people that don't want to sell? The statute does allow that if you can get more than 10% of the people to object to this plan of termination, they can still, you know, kill the plan to terminate. But yet we're finding, too, exactly what Raphael said, developers are approaching some properties and giving them astronomical numbers. So some unit owners actually are in favor of a determination process. Either you guys dealing with it?
Well, I think sometimes it's a benefit to the homeowners that live in these associations, especially, you know, usually close to the beach, on the water.
Exactly, that's what we're finding,
You know, you've got a lot of older buildings, older structures there that are facing special assessments and 40-year certifications. And sometimes, yeah, if they come in and they offer you, you know, more than your fair market value or close to it, I think there is a benefit for some homeowners to give, you know, to sell out. So,
sure. I'd like to also drop this before we go off the air, Eric. You know, while you're absolutely 100% correct, you need 80% to get the process going. We don't want to scare people out there and thinking that it's all over just because some person has 80% and they want to terminate their condominium and you're just going to get what the property appraiser says your unit's worth. Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but you also, in addition to that 80%, you need to make sure that no more than 10% of the people object to it.
Right, correct.
So exactly. In reality, you kind of need 90%.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, the fair market value, well, that's an amount. If you can hire a lawyer, that can be disputed for quite some time.
Right,
so,
of course. Yeah. Hey, in the minute or two we got left, how about everybody indicating how they can get in touch with your company?
Raphael Aquino, Affinity Management Services. You can visit www.managedbyaffinity.com, 305-325-4243.
Mark Rodriguez, Association Services of Florida. You can visit our website at associaflorida.com. And our phone number is 954-922-3514.
Darlis Walker, Condominium Concepts. And you can visit our website at www.condominiumconcepts.com. You can read our weekly blog at hoa-condoblog.com. And our corporate office number, as we're based in five different states, is 404-917-0600, and we can direct you to your local office.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here. We could have spoken, believe it or not, for another hour or so, just on all the changes that were done to the community association management laws. We'll leave that for another show. Thanks for being such wonderful sponsors of the show, week in and week out. And everybody, thanks for tuning in to learn about the new laws today. See you again, same time next week on Condo Craze and HOAs. Take care.